CliffCentral.com.
Yes. Good morning. It's Friday. How are you this morning? What are you up to? Did you wake up feeling like a $1 million, all crumpled and green?
Oh.
And in disorganized piles with rubber bands around different parts of you? Boy, that would be horrible. Rather wake up
sexy.
Feeling. Yeah. Rather wake up feeling like a 5-rand coin. Shiny and ready to be put in a parking meter.
I'm losing this analogy.
I don't think there ever was an analogy.
Oh, okay.
Not really. It's a loose analogy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Very confusing.
Terrible. All right. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Ben is here. His back is still a little crooked, but he's you're better off than you were on Monday.
Oh, Ben.
Yeah, bit by bit.
Leanne asked how you were, and then you hobbled in.
He also came in with what looked like a long walking stick, but without the top bit to lean on.
It's a golf club.
Oh.
No, that doesn't have... Well, okay, I'm not arguing with you.
There's
here,
nothing on either end.
Oh, well, this is, get with the times, people.
Do you screw on a different head?
You screw on the driver head's detachable nowadays.
Oh, look at that.
The driver head.
Okay. Yeah. And if you want to change the lofts, you want to change the settings to it, you can just literally twist the shaft around.
Ooh,
do you know what that is?
Twisting the shaft.
Yeah. Well, Leanne's done a lot of twisting of the shaft in her time. So has Sia, actually. The loft is how high it goes, right, Ben?
Yeah. So
the driver is the club that hits the furthest.
That's your biggest wood, yeah.
Right. Oh, big wood.
Leanne, old.
So essentially, the driver that I haven't been able to try for the last week because I've been a cripple is...
Oh, a cripple.
Oh, no.
Incredibly exciting technology where you detach the head. And if you get you can get between 7 to 12 degrees or 7 to 11 degrees difference. And you can also put the weight towards the heel to get more. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I have meal hit one fucking shot with it.
Oh, there we go. How's that?
So you are feeling better, to answer the question.
No, I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling just absolutely frustrated.
Oh.
You're like someone who's lost his legs in an accident or something, and you're now on the next phase where you're feeling anger.
Yeah. Oh, the 12 steps of...
Yeah. Like if I can't play golf, a major part of my life just falls into the shitter. So,
oh my goodness me!
I've had to cancel 2 games in.
You're gonna have to shoot him.
2 games in 6 days. I've just nope, can't do it.
Mm.
But
so, how's your will to live?
Yeah, it's still teetering above 51%.
At least.
So it's
at least the majority.
People should say that instead of "Hi, how are you?" They should say "How's your will to live?" Hi. And you can give them a percentage.
Just get straight to it. 51. Okay. Well, out of 100, like, what's your will to live? 51. Mm. Sia?
89.
That's good. Ben's at 51. He's still 1% more than starting to consider.
I'm still in the green.
Running into the traffic.
Yeah, I'm still in the green.
Okay.
Mm. Mine varies minute to minute.
Oh. Okay, right now.
Right now, it's like 100.
Oh.
Nice.
But
good.
When I woke up, it was 2.
Oh.
Oh, gosh.
It's very bipolar. That.
Yours?
Mm. I'm a fairly steady 95.
Oh, that's good.
Will to live, yeah. I'm on a good will to live tip. Yeah, even when I have really frustrating shit happening, I still like to live.
Okay. That's actually...
I just want to live!
Whose song was that?
Only you know.
Bon Jovi.
No, man. Oh, God. Sia just tried
Wait,
to sing
I could, like,
it. Now it's gone
it
even further
head.
Away. It was close, and then it disappeared into the distance as soon as Sia sang it. The song shied away, if that's possible.
I just want to live!
White Stripes.
Good Charlotte.
Good Charlotte.
Thank you.
That's the one.
I just want to live, don't really care about
what
the things that
song.
They say. Anyway,
yeah,
the
that's,
Googler helps us all
yes,
the time.
Yes, there we go. I just want to live Good Charlotte. Very, very nice.
I just want to live so I can play golf, but that's not happening right now.
Oh, see?
I'm Ben.
Well,
so I'm there.
Will to live is dipping again.
As you can see, it's there. It's 51 now.
That's actually a great question to ask, because the conversation will just be very straight up from that point on.
Yeah.
You also then know how to treat the person or not.
Or you know when
all.
To walk away and stop talking to
Yeah.
Thank you, Baltimore.
Oh, thank you, Baltimore. Here it is. This is the song I'm talking about. Sing this to yourself if you wake up in the morning. In my house, so I don't know when people are figuring around. These people are freaking me out. Just sing this to yourself every morning when you feel like your will to live is dipped below 50.
Because then you're in the red.
Yeah, and you don't want to be in the red. You know, our friend HP took his own life a couple of weeks ago, and we were very upset by that. I don't want to hear any more stories like this.
It's a total opposite vibe to the songs that I usually listen to.
What do you listen to?
I just want to die.
Oh, right.
Sit at the bottom of the swimming pool. Take my own life.
I suppose I shouldn't really laugh at this. It's probably bad. You know, it's not the right messaging. Because I know you're serious.
Oh, no.
It's okay. I can laugh about it now.
Yeah, I mean.
Not in the moment.
Also, listen. How much has your mum, because she's been through hell in the last 2.5 years. She had that stroke, and she's been in recovery for a long time, and you guys thought it was pretty much tickets with her at one point.
Well, the doctors, yeah. It was 35 and remainder of 35 and a percent?
65.
Yeah.
She had to relearn everything, speaking, walking.
She's still learning. She's still in a wheelchair.
So how much has seeing her go through all of that, which is horrible for anybody to see their parent going through, especially because your mum, I mean, she's an integral part of your life, and you and your brother love her to pieces, and she loves you guys. It must have just been so goddamn harrowing.
Yeah.
Do you have more of an appreciation for living? I'm not trying to say, you know, that you can take energy from one terrible situation and incorporate it into another one.
Mm.
But does it change things?
Completely. It's changed our lives, our perspective. It was the worst thing that's ever happened in my life, personally.
Right.
And I've had some pretty bad things happen to me.
Yeah, like that Chinese man who tried to finger you in the lift.
Yeah, he licked my face. No, it's seriously, and I think, you know, through all the darkness and the hard parts where she basically died about four times.
Jesus. Oh, my God. What?
And I think.
Had you reached a point where you'd kind of given up, or did you just keep holding out hope?
Mostly holding on.
Wow. And for someone who does have a little bit more than slightly some depression.
Yeah, and I'm cynical, but I'm also realistic.
Shit.
So those things were difficult to come to deal with. Where I lent on my family a lot, where they're, you know, more positive and hopeful. But the more we showed her that, the more she found her will to live. And I think, I mean, there was someone at her bedside, three people at her bedside every single day.
Oh, wow.
Throughout the day.
And that is exhausting for you guys, because you don't know whether you're having a positive effect or not. Half the time you have no idea if it's making any difference.
I know people in my family who have had one parent pass away from cancer after fighting it for 20 years. Mm. And the other parent was literally, we call it that because it is, squashed by a truck and died immediately.
Oh my God.
And you kind of weigh it up and you think, what's worse? The lingering is the hardest.
You reckon squashed by a truck if you had to choose?
Yeah. The lingering is the hardest.
There isn't that that drawn out, painful goodbye.
Yeah. You know, it was just even when the doctors say, I don't know. There was a part there was a section where there was just nothing left to do, but she was still alive. What do you do then?
Yeah, you see.
She was in a coma.
And you don't know whether she's coming out of that coma or not, because the doctors don't know. And nobody could tell. And then suddenly she rallies.
Yeah.
And then you get your hopes up and you're like, well, maybe she'll come back to 100%. But you also have no idea about that.
Then there's an infection, superbug called Pseudomonas, which takes her almost.
I've met her. Oh, no, she's. Oh, right.
That's Mona Sudis, you're thinking of.
Yes, of course. She lives there in Killarney.
Yes. Yeah. So, no, very up and down, and it filters into your brain and it kind of sticks there. There were some mornings where I got up and it had affected me physically.
Mm. How?
Where I was like Ben in a question mark, shaped like that, and I couldn't even lift back my shoulders. The heaviness, you feel it physically. There's a bird that goes, this is really ridiculous. My mom laughs at it now. She laughs at all of this.
Of course.
We're like, Mom.
She has to. It's like a coping mechanism.
Yeah, Mom, there were days where we just didn't know, and she goes, ha, 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 laughs at us. There's a bird which goes,
I've heard those birds. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And in my mind, the thing that came out from that was, because my mom's critical. And that's what I would hear all the time. She
fucking
was critical mean
bird.
For a year.
I'll tell you what, that bird has got to have some attitude adjustment.
And
that
now,
is awful.
Because my mom's
I'm saying goodnight to her, and she's getting into bed, and she just starts laughing but uncontrollably. And I'm like, Mom, what is it? She goes, because my mom's critical.
I'll never be able to hear that bird ever not think about this.
It used to be because I support Liverpool in my head.
Yeah, no, these are things that happen in your head.
These things happen in my head. Do you know how lonely it is?
Oh, no, it seems like quite an active,
bizarre,
fun place.
Did it help you in any way to...
I see things completely differently now.
Yeah, because you don't think of yourself as much when something like that happens. And if you think of yourself, it's in the context of someone else's suffering or pain or...
It was emergency mode where things to me like showering or watching what I'm eating or driving carefully didn't matter anymore at all. I gained so much weight because I wasn't focused on me at all. And now, because she's getting better, it's giving me back some energy to take more control of my life.
Mm.
It was heavy. Yeah.
Wow.
Before my sole purpose was to get to the hospital and to be with her to find out from the doctors what was going on. And now I got bored for a moment when she was getting better. I thought, I actually have extra time. What am I going to do?
Wow. Yeah, your whole life, it's amazing. You put pause on everything, huh? And the stuff that you think is so important before something like that happens.
Ooh, perspective.
Yeah,
and
it
also
just melts away.
What I'm seeing now, which is affecting me the most at the moment, is through her rehab and taking her to physio and that sort of thing. And dealing with wheelchairs. Wheelchairs just change your life and your perspective.
Well, we had Alex in here on Wednesday. You weren't here, but Alex is he's in a wheelchair. He's been in a wheelchair his whole life. And he's doing...
How did he even get up here?
Oh, seven guests. He's very strong.
Yeah. It's a whole operation.
Yeah. Because, I mean, that alone, she was building...
And we have the least wheelchair-friendly building in the whole world, by the way.
Yeah. She was building a hotel.
We've invited your mother. She can't.
She can't.
Not interested.
Building a hotel, and the last thing to go in is the lift, and we still haven't put it in. And she was unable to see the progress until we carried her up in a wheelchair. But also, I used to have a bit of a sick feeling when I saw someone in a wheelchair or someone who had
even the
a brain injury.
Wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, you kind of, ooh.
Yeah.
It makes you think of some person in the 1800s in one of those things made of cloth and then these wheels, these big, big, big wheels.
Maybe that's ungame. Only you.
No, it's me. I see this thing and then, cloth. I see a very strange, ugly-looking contraption.
But when I saw people in wheelchairs, I had almost a sick feeling and I felt sorry for them. And
yeah, now?
I wouldn't look them in the eye, kind of look away.
Yeah.
Now
like
I'm
a
so
shame.
Interested. And when I see other people battling to get their person out of the car, I mean, car transfers are a huge thing.
Oh.
I see it completely differently.
Cars are not built for people to get in and out of wheelchairs and in and out of seats.
No, you've got to use
horrible.
A thing called a transfer board, which looks like a miniature surfboard.
That is why, you sons of bitches, you got to not take the crippled parking.
No, and I have a sticker now.
Well, does that help enough, though? I often wonder.
Oh, yeah, completely. Because the biggest thing is you need to open the door up fully, and you can't do that anywhere else.
So you got a sticker now?
Yeah, I do. It's not stuck on. I put it onto my dashboard when I need it. Mm. I should actually keep it on. I mean, there's great parking.
Always a silver lining.
I drive past those parking sometimes and think, should I pull my sticker out?
Oh, that's great. Oh, I'd use it all the time. That's why I'm so glad that I don't have to.
But in the end, and to finish this off, just seeing her will to live and her strength, she sits in the garden with her sun hat on and greets you with a huge smile and big eyes. She remembers absolutely everything, asks you how your day was. That part for me was hard in the beginning, where she wasn't asking me how I was. It wasn't part of her brain function.
Yeah, now she's back to being herself.
Now she's my mom again.
Yeah, Jesus. I know you were worried you'd lost her forever, right? Just the personality, even if the body lived?
Yeah, the personality. And I think in the beginning I thought, I was so narrow-minded. I thought, you know, the outcomes from this are either physically disabled or mentally disabled. Now you realize it's actually, when you're mentally disabled, it's physical and cognitive.
Mm.
So
yeah, I would much rather have a physical disability than a mental one. Ooh.
Yeah, and that's what I'd hoped for. And Jesus. Looking at my mom in a wheelchair, drinking wine and laughing with me now,
yeah.
I'm hashtag blessed, really. That's how I feel.
You appreciate every minute you got now, right, as opposed
Absolutely.
To before.
I love spending time with her.
And ladies and gentlemen, the moral of this story is that's why Leanne drinks.
Correct. I'm now drinking because I'm happy.
Yeah. Yes. Celebrate. Have a drink with your mother.
Yeah.
I just think it's such shit to go through. And for her, it must have been horrible. And for you, it must have been horrible. And the fact that the two of you can emerge on the other side with a sense of humor is probably the healthiest
that
thing.
And a close-knit family. We were told by all of the nurses,
Except
all of the doctors.
That much younger sister that you killed off when you were three.
That died in my mom's uterus or something.
But you also strangled her to make sure. You were very... You're quite adamant.
Didn't want a sister.
Yeah. We didn't mean. I didn't mean to bring that up.
That's for another time.
You've tried to evade the criminal prosecution ever since, but we'll leave it alone.
I forgot what I was going to say.
It's because of little.
Oh, the family.
What was her name again?
No, Cyril Dean.
Oh, yeah, it's actually the name the whole suburb of.
Yes, in memory of her.
Gorgeous name.
Yeah,
gorgeous.
I called her Sir for short.
All right, well, do you remember what you were going to say?
Yes, I do. In closure,
that was your point.
All of the nurses, all of the doctors, everyone around us said they'd never seen such a tight-knit family with the three of us, my dad, my brother and I, and how many families fall apart during a situation like this and then just never visit. And, oh, goodness me. And how they never visit.
Sorry.
You just leave the person there in the bed.
They just leave them?
Yeah, they do.
Do people just lie there and then no one visits and they never get a visitor?
No, completely. Well, yes. I saw it with my own eyes.
It's like those life estimeni people, and some of them you hear, like their family never came to visit them. And
Yeah, it's crazy.
Some people just don't know how to respond to things like that.
We were the opposite. We rallied together. We just became a really good unit.
You must have known that hospital inside and out, right?
Completely. I would help people. Sorry, which doctor are you looking for? Oh, straight down the passage.
You were regular.
When we walk up and down there now for checkups and things, people greet us. ICU for a year.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, some people have it.
Rehab hospitals.
Like, my uncle was admitted to hospital sometime in October. He had fallen, he'd broken his ankle, and then the meds made him go like a little bit crazy. Because, you know, in a lot of these situations, when you have an infection, which he developed, you go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all pretty much given up on him. Like, we were saying, oh, well, you know, I suppose we've got to sort out his stuff and make plans. And we'd kind of written him off.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the motherfucker rallies.
That's amazing.
He came around. Now he's back at home. He's with his cats and his dog.
And side-eyeing all of you for planning his death.
No, we don't tell him. I hope he hasn't listened to this. And we were like, you know what? The guy's gone. He's finished. That's the end of him.
Mm.
And then he just suddenly...
Yeah, it's amazing. But humans actually have control of when they go or not to a very big degree.
It's in the
they
head.
They decide.
What's your will to live? That's where we started with this.
Correct.
And I mean, your mother has like an incredible will to live.
Wow. Only once, when she was very delusional, she said, I was standing next to her and she went, okay, bye. And I said, well, I'm staying here. Where are you going? And she said, to heaven.
Oh, no.
And closed her eyes. I'm like, Mom.
But what a story that would have been if she'd actually had the, you know, if you were cognitive and aware enough to say, bye, where are you going? To heaven, and then done it. Wow, what an exit.
That happened with my aunt. She called a family meeting the day before.
Yeah.
Gave everyone her passwords, sorted out work stuff with my mum, signed papers, and then she left.
And just left. Yeah. By the way, with peace and love, it's very important that you leave the passwords with someone. Someone you can trust.
I've sent a document to my brother.
Yeah.
Peace and love.
You need to have your... I want to tell you, you must have your passwords written on a piece of paper and put in a safe. And when you hop it, your family or your best friend can log in and shut down your shit social media. You have to, because you don't want that lingering around. I went onto a Facebook page of someone I know who died a long time ago. I went to have a look. And there was still like active stuff on there, and then everybody had started posting their rest in peace messages on the wall, and I just exited really quickly.
It's not my most important thing. I won't need Instagram when I'm dead. So
no, but
do whatever you want to do with it.
But can I say, Leanne came in here this morning and pointed out that which one's the hot Kardashian?
She's a Jenner.
Kendall Jenner.
Kendall.
That's the one.
She's the most naturally pretty.
They must not shut down her stuff if she dies.
No, we want to look at her forever. Great
pictures.
You guys don't sound like freaks at all.
Peace and love, Kendall.
Look at her forever.
Nola's shaking her head.
Kendall Jenner.
Looks like a confused puppy.
Yes. Kendall Jenner, keep your Instagram alive, even if you are dead. Keep your Instagram going. Don't you shut it down.
Peace and love.
Yes,
peace and love.
Peace and love. Kendall Jenner. Everyone else, shut yours down. Not Kendall Jenner. All right?
Oh, jeez. Okay, then.
Yeah. Definitely the only one in that family that's attractive.
Yeah. Huh? I think so.
I think the rest of them are
really... Her legs are a little bit toothpicky, but...
You'll look past that.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has their thing. Some people have a very large vagina.
I look past that. I don't care.
Vagina pussy.
Sometimes very large.
You know? Huge panties.
Can you tell it's a Friday?
like a roast beef.
Roast beef. A hock of ham.
Well, what a way to start your morning.
How's your morning going?
What a roller coaster ride of emotions. We've experienced sadness, experienced trauma, we've experienced joy, we've...
Triumph.
Yes, triumph over disaster, and then even a hock of ham. Sweet Lord Jesus. Let's get into some news, shall we? Are you ready? Let's find out what's happening in the world. I don't know why you're relying on me, but okay. I'll try to give it to you the best way I can.
Ooh.
Are you ready? Are you sitting comfortably? Well, two Western Cape traffic officers have been accused of encouraging reckless driving, and they face suspension.
How do they encourage?
Let me tell you. Two provincial officials accused of allegedly encouraging reckless driving on the N2 highway face possible suspension. They captured on cell phone video footage over this past weekend and appeared to spur drivers on as they recklessly exited a road from a farm stall onto the national road. Like, come on!
Whoop, whoop!
Come on! Let's go a little faster! The Provincial Transport and Public Works Department then launched a probe. In one video clip, an officer walking next to a marked traffic vehicle can be seen raising his arms to encourage the car, spinning their wheels while the crowd cheers on.
Oopsie.
Yeah, that's a violation. You can't spin your wheels.
Yeah, I also... Do they still do these Fast and Furious type drag races on highways in South Africa?
They do it in my neighborhood.
Really? That's so dangerous. I hate to sound like an old person, but I've never liked that stuff, even when I was 14.
Even just here down the road, you can see at intersections there are circles of tire tracks. Yeah.
Really? Because don't a lot of these streets have those bumps on them now that make it impossible for people to drag?
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, your main thoroughfares don't have bumps.
Well, there it is. Those two idiot traffic officers are going to find themselves in very, very hot water. North Korea's Kim, not Kim Kardashian, Kim Jong-un, said, no weapon system is tested, one of which my father, Kim Jong-il. This is actually how he sounds. I'm just quoting directly from it's written phonetically.
It's how it looks.
Had taken special interest in during their lifetime, personally reading to its development. What he basically means is he's visited a test site of a new tactical weapon in his first public field inspection since last year, hailing it as a display of their rapidly growing defense capabilities. The North's first mention of a new weapon system in months threatens to sour the otherwise very good political atmosphere as negotiations between Pyongyang and the United States appear to have stalled. The result today is a justification of the party's policy focused on defense, science, and technology. And the only picture released by state media shows Kim standing on a beach surrounded by officials in military uniforms, but no weapons visible. So maybe they went for a swim.
It was a romantic stroll.
Yeah, they all went for a stroll on the beach. When I go for a stroll on the beach, it's usually for romantic purposes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Hand in hand. Walk down the
promenade.
Or the beach sand itself. Kick a little bit of the sand. Mm. Not into your lover's eye. That usually has a bad effect.
No, that's not
sometimes
good.
You get your feet wet in the ocean. You listen to the sound of the ocean. Whoosh. Yes. Whoosh.
So we should give Kim the benefits of the doubt here.
Let's imagine he and his generals just had a loving stroll. All right? Let's not all get our tits in a tangle. That's my official advice for this morning. It's Friday. The president of the World Bank, Dr. Jim Yong Kim, not Kim Jong-un, but Jim Yong Kim, Rwandan President Paul Kagame and the Secretary General of the Commonwealth, Patricia Scotland, among others, will be going to a global citizen lineup concert here in Johannesburg.
Concert.
Not only will we have supposedly Beyonce and Jay-Z and all these other superstars, the president of Rwanda and Dr. Jim Yong Kim. Everyone's excited to see him. He's going to be performing his song.
He's a president and he sings?
Yes, T.T. Titlahon T.
Is that his song?
That's his song.
Do you know just a bit of it?
And Paul Kagame will be singing I Am Not a Dictator, which is his favorite song. And Patricia Scotland from the Commonwealth will be singing, because she's from Scotland.
Mm.
She'll be singing... I wonder to the three dials, Maggie.
I love that ballad.
Okay, yes. Well,
so it's just
and that's exactly
the,
how
yeah.
her voice sounds, because she's quite gruff.
Wow. So much to look forward to.
Gruff in the heaths. All right, so they'll all be in Johannesburg at the FNB Stadium on the 2nd of December. Big, big day.
Yeah, that's my birthday.
Yes.
That's
why they're all coming.
The event will celebrate Ben Karpinski and the late Nelson Mandela's centenary. And aims to fight global poverty.
Which is close to my heart, of course.
Oh, wow, Ben.
Who else is coming? Let me just look at this. There's Casper Nyovest, Pharrell Williams, Beyonce and Jay-Z, Shoma Jozi, Tiwa Savage, Usher, WizKid, and many more. While the Queen of Talk, Oprah Winfrey, is expected to give the keynote address... Oh my God, these poor people, they're going to go there to see Beyonce and they're going to, I don't want to see Oprah.
Who doesn't want to see Oprah?
Please, she could talk up a storm. Are you kidding?
They need their
You've been
head
standing rig. In the hot summer sun in a stadium the whole day and then Oprah starts to lecture you? No, thank you.
Trevor Noah
and they aren't
will
even
be chairs, hosting.
I mean, you.
No, Trevor Noah will be there, but
Forrest Whitaker as
he'll
well.
He'll be funny at least. Naomi Campbell, so bring all your Coke.
Oh?
Yeah. Bonang Mateba. So bring all your Coke. Nomsa Mombata, so bring all your Coke. And Tyler Perry, to name a few. At the same time, you can win tickets to the festival by joining the City of Johannesburg team on the final leg of their citywide cleanup on Saturday. All right, so you want to get in there? Because you can't buy these tickets.
No. there were only just a very, very small percentage that were available to be bought. But otherwise, you have to download their app.
Yeah.
And I've just given up on this already.
And you have to do good things, basically, because...
Yeah, there's several tabs.
The Arib Sibet Singh movement, which is all about cleaning up the city, is happening. And
can
you can
clean up government at the same time, just go in there and take the rubbish out of the parliament.
Cyril's doing that for us.
Cyril's
at the
trying. I mean, we're getting them. You know, Malusi, don't forget this cancerous Malusi Gigaba was out this week. We're slow progress. And yesterday, I actually spent a bit of time listening to a very, very interesting man, Bonang Mohale, who's the head of Business Leadership South Africa. He gave a brilliant speech last night at the National Business Awards, which I attended. I had to hand over an award, and I was one of the judges. So he got up and gave the keynote. Now, this guy was worth listening to. He said, you don't understand. And I saw Run Noiner, who, of course, is our crypto dude, Crypto Man Run on Twitter. They both said to me in different... first of all, Bonang's speech was brilliant because he said, just Cyril's got a long game in mind here. And he's weeding out all the shit, little bit by little. And people are speaking so openly about state capture and about all these crooks now. Of course, they're not going to jail yet, but that'll come. We have to move slowly, and we have to move methodically, and we have to move carefully. And
as that saying goes, slowly, oh, wait, sorry, you can't say that.
Slowly, slowly, catch a... The saying is slowly, slowly, catch a monkey.
It is.
And that's what Cyril's... He's catching all these monkeys. That is the saying. You can look it up. Anyway, so that's the global citizen lineup, and Bonang Mohale last night was brilliant. I'll see if I can't get you a transcript and maybe tell you a little more about what he said later on.
But I just think if you are going to clean up the city, because obviously there's better tickets, right? You get Golden Circle and you get like things. So if you clean up the most shit, you get the Golden Circle.
That's how it should work.
So if you like, I don't know, flesh out of like a meth den in Hillbrow. You should be able to get backstage.
You should flush out a meth den.
Yeah.
That's what it says on the requirements.
It's got a list of all the good things,
you have to do, yeah.
And flushing out a meth den is plus 25, which means 25 backstage tickets.
Mm.
For you to, you can actually, if you're lucky, you could even get to have sex with Oprah.
But then for that, how lucky.
For that, you would have to, you'd literally have to clean Ponty from top to bottom.
You would have to with your tongue, yeah. It's a lot of work.
All right, let's move on. Two other stories in the news you need to know about. The Cape Town City Council, who resigned in solidarity with former Mayor Patricia de Lille. There were five of them. They said they're going to sue Musi Maimane for 1 million rand for defamation. One of them is someone called Suzette Little. And Maimane apparently ignored her warning to retract a statement to the effect that they were implicated in the Bowman's report, which has been used as the basis for criminal charges against De Lille. So, Little resigned on the 25th, along with Sean August, Siyabulela Mamkeli, Greg Chan Barnardo, and Tulani Stemele, leaving both the council and the DA. Just get out. Just go. Find yourselves other jobs. Make yourselves useful.
Go be useful.
I'm trying to sue my money for 1 million rand. And if your reputation, all five of you, is worth 1 million rand, divide 1 million by five. That's 20. It's 200,000. It's 200,000, right?
But they're worth 20. Okay. I get what you're saying.
It's 200,000 each. So if your whole reputation's only worth 200,000, just give them the fucking 200,000 and be done with them and let them go and live in a crate for the rest of their life. These goddamned useless politicians. How about suing me for that then? Your 200,000 rand reputation. Go and live in a crate with your 200,000 rand. And trust me, I'm no Musi Maimane fan, but there we go. Politicians squabbling. And who do you think is going to pay if Musi ends up being sued for that? The DA. Do you think they need to pay out an extra million? Probably not. Don't know if they can afford it. And SARS. Speaking of money, SARS reported on Thursday that it achieved 30 successful convictions in VAT and personal income tax fraud charges. So watch out. Involving 65 billion rand between April and September.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. So Makola, the guy from SARS, Mohola Makola, said in total the courts finalized 74 cases, which represented the first 6 months of SARS's 2018-2019 financial year. Cases related to charges of bribery, fraud, and theft, and the contravention of the Income Tax Act. SARS said about 670 cases were currently being investigated and include 268 suspected VAT fraud cases and 63 investigations into tax practitioners in connection with suspected abuse of the tax system. So if you thought SARS was sleeping, they clearly still have a little bit of investigative capacity. And they will come and get you, baby.
What's a bet it wasn't Triple M who discovered those discrepancies?
Yes, I'm guessing, yeah. She wasn't involved. She was trying to get girls with the Drakensberg Choir.
Oh, by the way, Carl DeSantis just mailed me because he's always on the ball. Carl says it's 1 million rand each, those people's reputations. Now, that's outrageous. We didn't even know who they were before this news story came along. So how could they be worth a million in reputation? Not a chance. I don't buy it. They should go for the 200,000 and call it quits. And the crate. Maybe I can get that.
The crate. Just live in the crate.
I should be going for a Christmas box and being happy with it.
Yeah. Hamper. All right. Food stamps even.
Yeah.
You know, pay them in food stamps.
Checkers do a lovely bunch of those this time of year.
There we go. All right. Over to Ben. Let's see what's going on in the sport. The Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. Do you want to hear?
Oh, no.
No, I don't.
Well, I'm going to tell everybody who does, Ben. Bitcoin, $5,623. And Ethereum, $180. What do you have for us?
It's the weekend. It's Mzansi Super League weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, is this it?
Yeah. All right. Well, I got a call from Heino Kuhn.
Gee, that was a great intro.
Friend of mine, right? And he said, I'm going off to play for the Mzansi Super League thing this weekend.
Yeah.
So I said, I knew about that because my friend Ben tells me about this every fucking week. That's how I said
you
it.
You sounded enthusiastic.
I know. All right, so carry on. What else is in the intro?
Well, you got to go to the music.
Is that all you got? You usually go, and something else as well.
Let's get much bigger than this, Gareth. So this is it. After all the waiting, after all the updates I've been giving you, the Mzansi Super League is here this weekend. The first match is the Cape Town Blitz versus the Tshwane Spartans, 7 o'clock at Newlands. Now,
will it be on the television?
Yes, on the SABC.
Right.
SABC, so everyone can watch it. Now, sports of the highest caliber is generally for the highest caliber of earning potential people. So the SABC have it this time around.
SABC.
Yeah, normally you can't watch IPL, you can't watch like any sort of decent cricket. I know the SABC do put together some test match stuff from time to time, but this is the actual like exciting package. This is entertainment. This is to make the fans excited about a sport. So that'll be tonight, 7 o'clock, if you are in Cape Town, and if you do have very little to do, or if you are part of Western Province Rugby and therefore don't have much money. These tickets are very affordable and you can get out there, just go watch. It's going to be great. You've got the mountain and stuff. What more do you want in life? The Cape Town Blitz will be captained and led by Quinton Lecoq. There's players like Fahon Behardin, Dale Steyn. Tshwane Spartans, of course, are huge because they've got AB de Villiers, who's the biggest reason that India cares about SA cricket. Then you've got Riley Rousseau. You've got Mark Boucher as the coach. There's just so much going on with these two teams. Now, of course, the Proteas are still in Australia, some of them anyway. They're playing a T20 match 10 o'clock Saturday morning. But forget about that. Those guys will come back, sure enough. And Mzansi Super League is the destination. Then Saturday, tomorrow, the Jersey Stars will be taking on Nelson Mandela Bay Giants at 7 o'clock at the Wanderers. Wanderers, also a fantastic place to go watch cricket. Probably the best limited overs venue in the entire country.
Huh.
It just is. It's just an excitement about the place. It's a really great stadium, and it's always exciting on the playing surface. Then on Sunday, Durban and Paarl, your chance to have the Mzansi Super League in your life is here. Sunday at 11 o'clock, Durban Heat versus the Cape Town Blitz. And then on Sunday afternoon, Gareth, 3:30, your team, the Paarl Rocks, take on the Tshwane Spartans.
You know, I have such a connection to them.
Yeah. It is. How about that? That's your opening weekend.
All right.
Mzansi Super League.
All right, what else is happening?
A lot, Gareth. Staying on the cricket. You know, people always say we've got to treat women's sports people just like the men, and I agree. And for that, I will say the women's cricketers choke just as good as the men. They lost like all their wickets for bugger-all runs yesterday. I think it was up 9 for 28 or something. They bowled the West Indian women out for 107, they've got 107 for 7 in their allotted T20. course, this is the T20.
T20. Who are you tweeting?
All this T20 stuff. My brain's frazzled. The T20 Women's World Cup. Now, they opened up by beating... the women's had the first match against the Sri Lankan women. And they won that one. But they got absolutely unstuck, unhinged against the West Indies. 107-7 West Indies posted. The women got 76 all out. Absolutely diabolical. The next match is against England, so things are generally just getting harder and harder. So hopes are well to live for Proteas women right now, dipping below 50.
How depressing.
In the football, there is AFCON qualifiers. Now, we always run through this ringer with Bafana Bafana. We get hopeful, and ultimately we just go, collectively go, because they never make it. But they got a bloody good chance this time around if they win their matches. Mm-hmm. The big one coming up now, Saturday at the FNB Stadium, is at 3 o'clock, and it is against Nigeria. So you're kind of wondering, well, what really are the chances? Well, they need to top their group. We know that for sure. It is Group E, and currently Nigeria are top. They've got 9 points, but South Africa, they're on 8 points. Libya and the Seychelles are the other teams in the group, but they really shouldn't even come into the reckoning. I mean, Libya, what's really going on there? Seychelles, it's a place you have cocktails. So it's between Nigeria and South Africa, and they're squaring up this Saturday at the FNB Stadium at 3 o'clock. Ticket sales were seen to be very, very low beginning of the week. I saw reports as many as 7,000 tickets were sold. 80,000 get into the stadium, so you do the math there and realize that maybe more Bafana fans should come out. Are there any left? It's also a good question. But either way, SA vs Nigeria, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Get amongst it. What a weekend of sport this really is. On to rugby. Rusty Erasmus has named his team for the Scots, the Challenge of the Scots. How it used to happen in the past, of course, is that we would go there, absolutely give them a thrashing, and try out a few new players and score like 40 points, even in the rain.
All right.
Scots are good nowadays, though. Their run at Murrayfield in particular has been fantastic. They've beaten all comers except for New Zealand in the last sort of 10 games. And they actually hammered England there not so long ago. So the team is Philly LaRue, Spoon Corsi, Jesse Creel, Damien Dudley, Apiwa Janshi, Andre Pollard. Then Ambrose Papier finally gets a start. How very exciting for him. Fafta Cloak is not there, of course, so Ambrose is thrown into the mix. And then Dwayne Vermeulen, Peter Setatoy and Sio Khaleesi make up a fantastic loose trio because Warren Whiteley has an injury. And then the locks, because of the fact that Eben Etzebeth is still not being risked, is Franco Mustard and Archia Sneeman. And then France will have a Malcolm Marks, Steven Kitsoff create a very sort of tight and burly tight five there. Bon Gibbonumby, Thomas the Toy, Vincent Koch, Lut Yaga will be your tight forwards on the bench, with Francois Lowe covering the loose season. Irfan Fonsell, Elton Junchies, Tiz and Colby. That is a good team, but is it good enough to beat the Scots? Well, you shall find out at 7:20. Well, not actually at 7:20, because that's when the game starts. But when the game finishes, you'll find out. And that'll be roughly an hour and a half after that.
It would mean it was fixed if you found out in the beginning.
Very, very good point, Leanne. Very, very good point. Of course, there's a whole truckload of other rugby on the go. Italy, if you love Italian rugby, consider yourself a niche character. 4 o'clock, you'll be taking on the Aussies.
There are not that many Italian rugby fans in the world.
Not really, Gareth. Not really.
I think there are more people who root for like Camilla and the royal family than...
Yeah, pretty much. But they're playing, So Wales will be taking on Tonga, and that will be at 4:30, if you like a bit of song. And then Twickenham, England are going to be hammering Japan. That's what Eddie Jones believes. Mm-hmm. Japan, of course, are much weaker side than England, so there'll be one-way traffic there. And then, 7:20, the SA versus Scotland game. But the big one, the absolute big one, you have to watch, 9 o'clock, Ireland versus New Zealand. What a humdinger this is going to be. Because New Zealand, of course, the best team. Ireland are the second best team. And if Ireland win this, if Ireland win this, there's a chance that they could actually end the year the world best team in rugby.
That would be something.
They beat Argentina last week. They scrapped around for that. But they are a strong team, and they know how to play the All Blacks. They love getting in their face, and that's exactly what you need to do in order to push these guys over. And then if you're a French fan, they play Argentina at 10:05. There's just so much rugby, and there's Bafana and Zanzi Super League as well. So much to enjoy. Plus, but wait for it, plus, there's also the Race to Dubai final event, the DP World Everything in Dubai.
Marvelous.
Now, this is where, obviously, Europe's big season comes to an end. It'll start again next week, but the year comes to an end here. And they've got so many big players now. This is the great thing about the European Tour is that they're structured in such a way that, of course, when you go play a WGC event, the points you win there obviously accrue to the other tours as well. So a guy like Xander Schauffele, he won in Shanghai recently. So if he wins this week, he has a chance of winning the whole race to Dubai. So he's there. Patrick Reed, because he won, of course, at the Masters, he started out really well this year. And he's been pretty tidy throughout, so he can also maybe win this whole thing if he does well. They're both kind of in the mix. They're both under par at the moment. But the man to chase down and beat is Francesco Molinari. He, of course, won the Open, and he was that shining star in the Ryder Cup. He's had a fantastic year. He's currently 4 under par, and he's leading this whole standing. Someone's going to have to do something very, very special. And when I say someone, basically 3 guys, one of which is Tommy Fleetwood. He's currently at 3 under par after the first round. Two guys out in front at the moment are Jordan Smith and Adrian Otsiegi. They're at 6 under. So that action will be on from 6 o'clock in the morning all day. It's just so amazing. It's at the Earth Course in Dubai. I've played there. It is staggering to think this is a desert, and they've made this golf course, which is just absolutely incredible. There's trees, there's rolling green hills, there's water, there's even birds.
And they've taken all the poor people out and put them on...
There were no poor people there, Gareth. What would they do? They would just eat sand. So there weren't any.
Oh, that's true.
The thing about Dubai is that they bring the poor people in to make things.
And then they send them away.
And then they send them back once they're dead and useless. Yeah. They have no more strength in their bones. And then they recycle. They rejuvenate the workforce. That's how it works.
Clever idea.
Very clever idea. There's a whole bunch of South Africans in the field as well, so there's lots to look out for. And two more stories to wrap up your week of sports. You know that Tokyo 2020, right? It's the next big Olympics. So Japan's cybersecurity minister has caused quite a bombshell this week.
Cybersecurity minister?
The head of cybersecurity for the Olympics has never, ever used a computer. He admitted to the press he's never even been on a computer and doesn't know how to work.
That's an outrage.
And everyone's like, well, how the hell, Yoshitaka Shakururu, did you get this? To which the jokes then rolled in and said, well, at least no one can hack him. Maybe on a computer. And finally, Lewis Hamilton. People are trying to get outraged about what his comments about India being a poor place.
It is.
No shit, yeah. So there was the Indian Grand Prix back a few years back, 2011 to 2013. And Lewis Hamilton said, like, it was always a weird thing going there because you would drive past these people who were living in absolute fecal matter. And then you'd arrive at this wonderful track. And it was never really well supported because obviously there's so few people who, like your ordinary people, were never going to go watch the F1.
No.
So it was just those kind of rich cricket people and other Bollywood people. And he said, it just seems so strange that they would spend so much money on a track like this when people are literally, you know, doing everything in the Ganges. So people said, you can't say India's poor. Like, well, it's not what he was saying.
No,
what
you people who complain about that stuff have to do is stop ignoring reality. Putting a picture in your head ahead of the truth.
And he just said, like, it was just silly that they even had a Grand Prix there because it became too expensive. And it's just silly. It was someone's ego got in the way. And sure, but then again, when you've got money, you can do whatever the hell you want with it. If you want to make a racetrack, great, go ahead. If it's a failure, so what? It's your money. You've pissed it against the wall.
I mean, there's a municipality here in the northwest that put up a statue to Jacob Zuma. They've got no money. The people in that municipality are pretty much living like those people you've just described in India.
Yeah.
They put up a statue to the man who's made them poor. I mean, you can't help some people.
No, exactly. So leave Lewis alone.
Leave Lewis Hamilton alone.
Yeah. And that is pretty much it for your sport. Big sporting weekend. Forget nothing of that and you'll be fine.
All right. Very good, Ben. A couple of emails before we get to see you. Hey, everybody, I used to listen to you back in the old days when you had to tune into a radio station. It seems like such a foreign concept now. This is from Faye. Anyway, I've been listening to you on Cliff Central for about 3.5 years now. I listen to it as a podcast because I live in Shanghai and we need a VPN to access anything decent that's not propaganda.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you've got firewalls deluxe there. You know that. You know you can't get onto Facebook in China?
Yeah, Jesus.
Or WhatsApp. That's why they use WeChat. I've continued to listen all these years because your show is my go-to for news, interesting interviews, and lots of laughs. Well, don't put too much pressure on us, please, Faye. I felt compelled to email because it sounds like you've been getting a lot of flack recently. I do sometimes agree with some of the things you say and disagree with others, but we're all entitled to our opinions, and I don't think what I might deem as a bad opinion makes you a bad person. Well, Faye, that puts you in the top 2% of intelligent people on Earth.
Right up there.
Yeah, because most people have never understood the fundamental concept that you can disagree with someone and still be their friend. In fact, I said it. I say it at events where I'm asked to speak, and people, they clap and cheer like it's some kind of important revelation. I'm like, isn't this obvious?
Anyway, to some people.
She says, there's a lot of gray area, and a difference of opinion is what marks and sparks debate, after all, a key factor to your show. Keep up the great work and bring on such interesting and diverse guests. Peace and love, and tea from China. Faye.
Nice, thank you.
Very nice. And then here's one from Oki, says another holiday scam. Because yesterday we were talking about how the ATM scammers are back on the scene because it's the festive season. They want to buy Christmas decorations, of course.
Yeah, that's all.
People who order foreign currency and collect it from their bank. Apparently insiders in the bank tell their friends and then they follow those people home and rob them of their foreign currency. So be careful. Cheers, Oki. Jesus. Careful of that. Mm. All right. A little bit of a warning. Said by Sia time. What do you got for us today, Sia?
I haven't brought you a story like this in a while. It's now of another great medical advancement that I think we should celebrate this morning for Said by Sia. Yes. In a world first, Japanese neurosurgeons have, listen to this, implanted a Parkinson's disease patient with reprogrammed stem cells. And if this treatment continues to show success, then it could actually be sold to other patients commercially as early as 2023. So if you know Parkinson's, it's this devastating disease and it's caused by a lack of cells in the brain that produce dopamine, which is really just essential.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay, because then people get the shakes.
Right. From it, yeah.
And Parkinson's, you can often see. Michael J. Fox is very famously someone who has Parkinson's.
Yeah, you lose control and your motor functions slowly but surely as things go. But now scientists in Japan are attempting to reverse this disease by they took donated stem cells from one person and they injected it into another person. And these reprogrammed cells, which are called induced pluripotent stems, which is iPS cells, can then be developed into a dopamine-producing neuron. So they injected...
I just want to hear you say that again.
Induced pluripotent stems, iPS.
Do they inject it directly into the brain?
So I don't know how they did it specifically. They just say was a...
because
I already know science. Impressive terms like this. They said that it was a 3-hour procedure to inject all 2.4 million of these special cells into the brain. And this was a man in his 50s. And they said they did this in October and already they're seeing the positive effects of this. So they say they'll wait it out for 6 more months. They'll try it again. And if it's all good and well, then this could be rolled out for people in the year 2023. Like, who knew we'd get to a point in 2018 where we can even say that Parkinson's disease is really no match for modern science. Well, I love it.
I read earlier this month that there are now studies showing that Parkinson's might start because of hormones that are released by the appendix.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of people who've had their – they did the test in Sweden. A lot of people who've had their appendixes removed have a lower risk of Parkinson's.
Oh.
Apparently it's this, we all release this hormone, but in some people it's in excess and that might cause Parkinson's.
Wow.
It's 25% of people who'd had, or it's a 25% chance, less chance of getting Parkinson's if you've had your appendix removed. But it had to have been from a really early age. So it's not like you can now go and remove it in order to...
Wow, but if they discover that that's the source, then they can probably find it in people when they're young enough and remove it. Because you don't need your appendix. You know what the appendix is for?
Fuckle.
No, it has a purpose. It breaks down. It breaks down the cell walls of plant cells.
Oh, that's right.
Cellulose.
You know, my aunt had her bladder removed due to cancer, and you need a stoma made, a hole made, so that you can have a bag fitted.
Yes.
And the best
for pooing into.
No, weeing from weeing the bladder.
The bladder.
And the best.
You don't poo from your bladder?
No, no. I don't.
Oh, okay.
I think you missed that class.
The best bit of material to use to do that is the appendix.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
So they remove that and use that to make the stoma.
Well, that was a marvelous and interesting journey into the human body this morning. But good news for Parkinson's survivors and for people who are dealing with that at the moment. Because there might be a stem cell solution to your problem. These stem cells are marvelous things. Oh, man. One day we should just... all those unwanted babies just harvest.
What?
Well, sorry, did I say that out loud?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought my microphone was off.
Did you hear yourself?
I thought my microphone was off.
What are you saying? Yeah, I don't...
what a thing to say. Anyway, all right, that's the that's quite enough positive news for this morning.
What a jam-packed hour.
Back to the bad news.
No, we've got lots of good stuff to talk about this morning. We're also going to speak to some people who put together the Quilt Project, the Love Quilt Project. We love to salute great people who are positively changing their communities through good work. So this morning, I thought I'd introduce you to an organization that is doing that and a whole lot more. The Love Quilt Project is a non-profit that uses the power of love to change the lives of vulnerable orphaned South African children, many of them affected by the HIV and AIDS pandemic. So we'll speak to the people from the LQP, the Love Quilt Project, event a little bit later on. And you can actually go to that event. It happens tomorrow. So if you've got time in your diary and you feel like doing some good things, we'll help you figure out a way to do that. How are we feeling this morning? Good?
Yes,
Ben, we are. How's your will to live?
Yeah, I was 51.
Oh, good. Still. Hasn't moved up, though. Hasn't moved down.
Oh, dear.
Quite consistent.
So, yeah, you're still in your 80s?
Yeah, 89 is good.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Leanne? Vacillating between 102?
102. Yeah. 48?
Oh.
Oh.
All right. Well, we'd best count our blessings.
CliffCentral.com